ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। श्रीभगवानुवाच श्रीभगवानुवाच ऊर्ध्वमूलमदशाकम् ऊर्ध्वमूलमदशाकम् अश्वत्थं प्रापुरव्ययम् अश्वत्थं प्रापुरव्ययम् छन्दांसि यस्य पर्णानि छन्दांसि यस्य पर्णानि यस्तं वेद स वेदवित् यस्तं वेद स वेदवित् श्रीभगवानुवाच ऊर्ध्वमूलमदशाकम् अश्वत्थं प्रापुरव्ययम् छन्दांसि यस्य पर्णानि यस्तं वेद स वेदवित् अधश्चोर्ध्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः अधश्चोर्ध्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः पुनः प्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः पुनः प्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अधश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि अधश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके अधश्चोर्ध्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः पुनः प्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अधश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके न रूपमस्येष ततोपलभ्यते न रूपमस्येष ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादेर्न च सम्प्रतिष्ठा न चादेर्न च सम्प्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशत्रेण दृढेन चित्वा असङ्गशत्रेण दृढेन चित्वा न रूपमस्येह ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादेर्न च सम्प्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशत्रेण दृढेन चित्वा ततः पदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं ततः पदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी ततः पदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत् गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत् निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्या विनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययं तत् In this chapter, Purushottama Yoga, he introduces Brahman from the known and he takes us to the unknown. So he first introduces Brahman as this known perishable world, the Nama Rupa, the name and form. And then he goes on to say that it is not the Nama Rupa but the imperishable aspect pervading the Nama Rupa. So first he says it is perishable world. Then he says it is the imperishable aspect in the perishable world. But that imperishable aspect, when you say, that is also possible to be conceived by the buddhi. So then it would amount to limiting Brahman as well. Therefore he says Brahman is even beyond the imperishable. So perishable, imperishable and beyond. Immanent, transcendent and beyond. That sense. It is within the world, it is that which pervades, imperishable and beyond. So known to the unknown. That's what he does in this chapter. So now in the beginning, he talks about samsara, the worldly experience, and he compares that to a huge people tree, Ashwatha tree. So he says, Sri Krishna starts this chapter and he says, they speak of the imperishable Ashwatha giant fig tree with root above. He uses the word root, singular, moolam. In the next verse he uses the word moolani, plural. So there are two words used. In verse number 1, moolam. In verse number 2, moolani. In verse number 1 it is singular, in verse number 2 it is plural. So here he uses the word moolam. He is meaning the root, the primary root. In the next verse he uses the word moolani. He is talking about roots, is the secondary root, roots. So the Ashwatha tree, people tree, if you see that huge big tree, has a primary root and then secondary roots coming, which is clinging to the earth and actually holding the tree. So he is comparing root, the primary root, to Brahman, and the roots, the secondary roots, to the vasanas. Now, this giant fig tree is comparing it to samsara, this world, this worldly experience. And the root of this tree is Brahman. This samsara has come from Brahman. And he says root above. Above means Brahman is above. Brahman is the cause from which this samsara has come about. When you do not apprehend Brahman as Brahman, the non-apprehension of Brahman brings about misapprehension of the world. The potential of not understanding a thing exists in that thing. For example, if there is a boulder, you need not necessarily understand the boulder as boulder, and as a result you could misunderstand the boulder as an elephant. If there is a rope lying on the ground, the non-understanding of the rope can bring about the misunderstanding of the rope as snake. Similarly, there is this Brahman, non-apprehension of Brahman brings about the misapprehension of this world. So Brahman is the cause, world is the effect. So root above, the cause is above, Brahman above, in that sense. So the branches below, branches refer to the activities that come about due to the ignorance. When I am ignorant of my true nature, Brahman, which is infinite, complete, as a result of that ignorance, I'm feeling this imaginary void. And to fulfill that imaginary void, my thoughts run towards the world, and to acquire and possess the worldly objects, I start acting. So the actions that come from ignorance are below. Now he says, whose leaves are the hymns of Vedas. Now leaves sustain the tree, the chlorophyll effect and all that we have studied. So leaves sustain the tree. Similarly, the Veda Purva Bhag, the beginning portion of the Vedas, talk about the rituals, the karma kanda, which are done for fulfilling the desires. So by getting into karma kanda, ritualistic way of living, you create more and more vasanas, and that sustains this samsara. Therefore he compares Vedas to leaves. Just like how the leaves sustain the tree, the Veda, the karma kanda portion, the mechanical rituals, the materialistic living sustains the samsara. Because it you act troubled by the desire to fulfill the desire, and that further breeds more desire, you are increasing more and more vasanas. Therefore, what sustains samsara is the Vedas. He who knows that gains wisdom of Vedas. One who stands apart and understands this whole thing, he understands the entire knowledge of Vedas. This is verse number 1. Verse number 2 is, its branches spread below and above, nourished by the gunas, with buds as the sense objects. The buds go on to become the branches. Similarly, when our thoughts are attracted by the sense objects, then it further leads us to activities. So he compares buds as sense objects and roots, I mentioned to you already, the vasanas, the branches, the activities. Some are spread below, some are spread above, some are in the middle, according to the gunas, narishpati, gunas, sattvic, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic gunas of the individual, propel the person to act tamasically, rajasically or sattvically. This is what he means by spread below, above, etc. Now, these roots stretch below, the vasanas, and they hold the world. So he says, the roots stretching below as actions binding men in the world. If you remember, we had spoken about the chronology of action before. I even drew the picture in one of the notebooks, made you to copy. From vasana comes thought, from thoughts come desire, from desire come action, and from action again comes vasanas. If your actions are propelled by desire, then it breeds further vasanas, and that gives rise to more and more activity. So punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatadeshaya. This samsara cycle continues. So it is, people out of ignorance, propelled by gunas, they act. And if you are acting propelled by tamasic gunas, you produce more tamasic vasanas. If you are acting propelled by rajasic gunas, you produce more rajasic vasanas. If you are acting propelled by more sattvic gunas, you acquire more sattvic vasanas. Whether you acquire sattvic, rajasic, tamasic vasanas, you would be bound to the world according to those vasanas. A tamasic person is looking for tamasic environment. Rajasic person looking for rajasic environment. Sattvic person looking for sattvic environment. The vasanas bind you to the birth and death again and again. That's all he's saying. So
even if there is sattvic, you will still be in the cycle of living.
Yes. That is why we say you have to rise above sattva also. But for you to rise above sattva, first you have to overcome tamas, rajas, increase sattva, but understand that sattva also you need to transcend and not stay put there. However good it may be, if you are creating more and more sattvic vasanas, you would have to come into the world to exhaust the sattvic vasanas. But yes, sattvic vasanas you need in the beginning to be able to deal with rajas and tamas. So first we say, completely eradicate tamas, control rajas, increase sattva. As you increase sattva, you will be able to see and understand even better how you are conditioned, how you are trapped.
What does indolence mean?
What is indolence means? Lazy, lethargic, indolence.
Self-indulgent almost. Self-indulgent.
He doesn't want to do anything, he just wants to enjoy without doing much effort. So now, you see, the clarity we need to see ourselves, that how we are trapped. See, in the second chapter, verse number 69, he gives a very interesting words which we have pointed time and again. Yamisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. Samyami means a man of control, a self-realized person, enlivened person.
Samyami.
Samyami. Yama means control, remember that. Samyami means well-controlled. A person who is well-controlled is comparing him to worldly people. He says, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhuta. That which is night. Nisha means darkness. Night. Verse 69. Yadisha Sarva Bhutana, that which is night, dark for all beings. Yadisha Sarva Bhutana, Tasya Jagrati Samyam. In that, a well-controlled man is awake. In other words, in which the world is asleep, he is awake. Right? Yamisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami. Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani. In which worldly people are awake. Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani. Sa Nisha Pashyato Munehe. A Muni, for him it is night. He is asleep. Ulta. In other words, when the world is awake, he is asleep. When he is awake, the world is asleep. What he is trying to tell is, we fear death, he fears birth. We fear darkness, he fears light. The Kabir also says, Dukme simran sabkare, sukme karena ko. When you are going through difficulty, you become little alert. Isn't it? Even in the organizations, they say that there is tough time, they automatically become little more efficient in handling their finances. Unnecessary travel they cut, unnecessary trainings they cut, all these extra expenditures they cut. They become alert when difficulty comes. But when the situation is going good, then what happens?
Indulgence.
You let loose, you become little lethargic, you take it for granted.
It's also the same with emotions, no, Guruji?
So that is what he is trying to say. A wise man is in fact careful with reference to light. Light means what? Now here, senses. I'm seeing, obvious it is for me. I'm hearing, obvious it is for me. I'm smelling, tasting, touching, all this is obvious. Right? So now I'm taking that for granted. Now as a result, when I contact, there is some pleasure I'm experiencing. So I'm getting duped, tricked. I'm running after it, thinking that this is what is going to give me pleasure. By running after the obvious, I get trapped. So I never question the obvious. Are you with me? I am more concerned about what I don't know, but Vedanti would be concerned about what he knows. World once believed that it is the sun that is revolving on the earth. And they believe that the earth is flat. But through science, through probing, through inquiry, we understood that it is not so. So therefore, an awakened person, he is very alert with reference to senses. But we are not so much alert with reference to senses. We don't bother about sense control. So now what do? By senses, when the senses falls on an object, the mind goes there. And the mind goes there, slowly my awareness is taken away. Then the desire is increasing in me. Then there comes a time, I think my life is nothing without it. I'm ready to mortgage my entire life to somehow acquire that. And once I've acquired that, then I see that it is something that is passing and fleeting, so it need not necessarily be with me always. So then the fear comes that it can be taken away from me. So without it, I'm unhappy. With it, again I am unhappy. This is called samsara. So it is senses as the buds. The buds that become the branches later on. Similarly, the door for us to develop the vasanas and activities is the senses. We seldom do anything to control that. Unless and until we control that, it is impossible to see the Brahman within. Therefore he is talking about us. So he says, through the senses, we get into the trap, and then we create more vasanas, and then the whole thing. Once the vasanas are there, then you know, thought, desire, action. And action propelled by vasanas will create more vasanas. then we are lost in this samsaric cycle. So now, if you want to understand the whole thing, what you have to do, first he says, its form is not perceived here as such. From where you come from, where you go, you don't know. The samsara is so big, the tree is so big, how did the whole thing start, you don't understand. Now actually if you sit down and ask some fundamental questions, then you begin to understand that probably the samsara started when I woke up this morning. Because when I went off to sleep, in my sleep, when I'm in deep sleep, the world doesn't exist for me. When I wake up, along with me the world wakes up. Correct? I and the world always come together. So when I'm coming, then I think, oh, okay, I'm identifying with this body. So I'm 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. My parents are 75 years old. Then my grandparents, the whole world, eternity, I'm projecting. So he says, its form is not perceived here as such, neither its end, nor origin, nor clear foundation. Where do you come from? Where do you go? Why are you here? What are you doing? What is the purpose of life? Nothing is clear. Even though this form is so big, so much time it has been existing as it were, still what is possible is, it is possible to cut this samsara right now. That is interesting. The tree may be very big, but you can still cut the tree. But to cut the tree, you need that right axe. Are you with me? Similarly, if you want to cut this samsaric cycle, you need the axe of non-attachment. So that is what is talking about. Asanga shatre ridena chitva. Having cut asanga with this firmly rooted Ashwatha giant fig tree with a strong axe of non-attachment. So if you really want to grasp the truth, remember what I said in my previous class. Everybody, for the matter, forget about Brahman, Atman, Moksha and all that, even from a relative level. You want to take charge of your life, you got to follow these 3 hours or 4 hours. Let's say 4 hours. I'm adding 1 more hour. What are the 4 hours? First hour is retreat. All of us, what are we doing? Constantly pursuing this world. Acquire, enjoy. Run, acquire, enjoy. Run, acquire, enjoy. This is what we are doing. Constantly running, 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 running. Why we are running? What? What is the necessity? Nobody questions. How much is enough? When I had a bicycle, when I didn't have a bicycle, I thought if I had a bicycle, I'd be fine. Then I thought if I had a motorcycle, I'd be fine. Then I had a, if I had a car, I'd be fine. This never ends. It goes on. Why? So first thing what I'm supposed to do is retreat. This is very important for everybody to do. Just retreat. Then, that's the first hour. Having retreated, what are you supposed to do? Reflect. Why should I do this? Should I do it this way? Everybody is doing, that doesn't mean I should do it that way. If everybody is doing, doesn't mean that they should be like the whole world believe the sun is revolving on the earth. But is it right? Was it right? Everybody believes the earth is flat. Doesn't mean that it is right. Just because majority is on that side, doesn't mean it has to be right. Galileo was stoned to death. Socrates was poisoned. Jesus Christ was crucified. It is very interesting. Always, truth is in minority. Because the majority goes by the senses. Majority goes by the hearsay. Isn't it? Very rarely a person has the guts to pull back and question. Majority would be fine being addressed as a man or a woman. Very rarely a person asks and says, listen, that is my sex, that's not me. Very, very few people have that guts to question the obvious. So the first thing you are supposed to do with reference to your life, if you really want to enrich your life, is to retreat. Enough is enough. And reflect.
Uske baad, recast your thinking.
Recast your value system. And then respond. Get into action. Get into the world. You can do the same thing what you were doing before, but now your actions are underlined by thinking. Earlier, your actions are not underlined by thinking. You were just running. And the momentum is such that now the fear is there. If I stop, something may happen to my life. So I can't stop. How can I stop? Everybody else is running. If I stop, I will lag behind. I can't stop. This is the fundamental thing. So therefore he says, if you really want to cut this samsara, what do you have to do? Asanga sastrena radena chitra. Pull back and reflect. Detach. Put this routine, mechanical existence go. Thoda sa, you say enough is enough. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. That depends. If you see Jesus Christ's life, they don't know where he was for 12 years. So many stories have come around that. Some say 12 years he was in India, etc., etc. All great masters, everybody who wanted to take charge of their life, they spent some time with themselves. But this fascinating samsara will not allow you to do it. Because the fear will come, then people will come and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Don't do this. What will happen? In 3 years, 5 years, world would have changed. You would lag behind. You got to keep pace. You understand? Nobody wants to question. See, why can't your path be unique? Why you see how much you are comfortable, others' path may be, it is extremely inconvenient because that's not your path. No other being other than human being imitates. The biggest problem of the mind is imitation. We all want to travel a safe path. But in safe path, you don't understand that how inconvenient it is because it is not according to your nature. So therefore you need to really retreat and then reflect. So that's what he's saying. Asanga shastrena. Shastra, shastra means what? That which teach and protect. You need to reflect basically. Question, should I do this? Is this way? Everybody goes to school, college, job, or business, marriage, produce children. Is this how I should live? Please continue if you want to live in the same way, but after reflecting. So that you are behind the ball. You are behind the ball. When you play cricket, they talk about that. Your back should be perfectly behind the ball. Because you start seeing the ball as a football, cricket ball as a football. And then a person gets in line and then he is able to play the ball or leave the ball. Because he is seeing it clearly. Then you are living your life. That's all Vedanta is saying. So therefore, asanga prema vivega chitva. With that, this strong aswatha tree is becoming more and more strong because you are continuing to run mechanically. The day you are determined and you take 2 steps back and start questioning, you will see that it, though it has been appearing to be such a big strong tree, it will start slowly crumbling in front of your eyes. because you started questioning.
Then you wonder, why I did not do it 2 years ago itself? Why I did not think of my living this way?
All of us do this, isn't it?
Acquire.
There was an article that Swamiji talks about, published many years ago in Reader's Digest. He says, a German businessman who wrote this article, he says in this article, I believe, he's turned very poor this year because he's not able to offer a new helicopter which he used to buy every year. So the article was so well written that you felt after reading the article that you probably sent some money to him so that he can probably buy that helicopter. When you look at it from his angle, he is genuinely feeling poor. It's very interesting. Now, as long as you are in that momentum, you don't see it. And if you pause and see, if you understand it, you say, my God, why am I doing this? Why should I do this? Should I do this? And now the problem is you start becoming part of a minority. Or maybe alone, not necessarily minority, could be only one person, but far and few. So that is where you can be shaken further. Because how can everybody be wrong? What happens to me when this happens, that happens, this doubt starts coming. Therefore, you have to keep the company of the scriptures and satsang, the people who think, and little bit practice abstinence from the worldly indulgences. It's very important. In this context only I quoted that verse from Upanishad. In the Keno Upanishad, verse number 4, part 2, he very interestingly says, Prati bodha viditam matam amrutatvam hivindate Atmana vindate devyam vidyaya vindate pratam. A very very important verse. What he says is, Prati bodha viditam matam amrutatvam hivindate. Meaning, in each and every experience, you must see the Atma. Atma is not to be seen somewhere. In some experience when you are in meditation, suddenly you experience Atma, and when you come out of meditation, the experience of Atma is gone. Then that is not the experience of Atma. Then that is the projection of your mind. Atma is something that is there in each and every experience. So therefore in each and every experience you must realize it. In the world, Pratibodha viditam matam amrutatvam hirinda. Now, if you want to do that, first thing what you have to do is Atmana vindate devyam. To be able to see Atma in every experience, you need to have a mind which is under your control. Otherwise, it's not possible. Because the thoughts run. So, where are you going to see the consciousness? Impossible. See, if I keep a finger in front of my eyes and I focus on the finger, the world is out of focus. If I focus on the world, the finger is out of focus. So when my thoughts run, I'm focusing on the world. Consciousness is out of focus. So therefore, Atmana vindate divyam. Atmanavindate devyam means you got to gain that strength by controlling your mind. By controlling your mind in the sense, when you keep an alarm in the morning, 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever time you set the alarm, you must set the alarm without snooze. Meaning, you don't require to again and again be reminded. If it's there, means you'll get up, switch it off and do your work.
My brothers keep no alarm. They wake up at the time they decide. Every day. like, so now my brother is not married. He is by himself in America. No staff, no nobody. He doesn't wake up and just call me. He still wants to get married. I told him, you missed something.
Yeah, I did. It's not it. I'm the same, my kids are the same.
So, Atmana Vindate Vidyam, Vidyaya Vindate Vidyam. So, he says, by gaining control over your mind, Atmana Vindate Vidyam, you develop the strength. With that strength only you can pursue Vidya, he says. Then through that Vidya knowledge, you will gain the Atmana. In the sense, you would not have that cataract on your eyes. Abhi cataract hai. So you can't see it. It's very difficult. That's why the Gita is there. Ya pashyati, sa pashyati. Vedanta doesn't criticize anybody. It doesn't say, oh, bad, you are running and all that. It says, why will they not run? They will run. Because that is how they are conditioned. You know, there are so many experiments done in science where, for example, that every day, at exactly at 12 o'clock, he used to ring the bell and feed the dog. Exactly at 12 o'clock. And then, one day, he just rang the bell, but no food was kept in front of the dog. But hearing the sound of the bell, the dog started salivating. You understand? This is conditioning. And we are all conditioned for janmas. Forget janmas, at least this life from the beginning. So we will function like that. It requires a lot of guts to really pause and ponder. There are so many people, when I say so many, more number of people, but less when compared to the people who are conditioned. They take such decisions. IITians, so many people go abroad, you know. Then one day they say, come on, why am I doing this? What is the need? What is the purpose? Why am I continuing? So they say, enough is enough. I'm giving up the job. And it's interesting. I know a very close friend of mine who's done this, was unbelievably brilliant. In fact, he was country first in 12th standard CBSE. Was called by the president to Delhi from Chennai and given the award. He then went to IIT, then went to US, worked there, then he took a call. Now, all his friends, if you see on a material level, they may be doing fine. But he took a call 7 years ago. He's done a lot of research now. He's gone back there and he's giving lectures to them. If you see, there's a tremendous difference in the lives of those people, but they don't, not everybody can understand. Not everybody can understand. But this is what he's trying to say. That detachment with reference to the sense world and reflection, when they go hand in hand, only then can you cut the samsara. Otherwise, you're feeding that samsara day in and day out. It's impossible to cut it. So if you want to cut the samsara, you've got to have a disciplined lifestyle and a questioning lifestyle. If these two go hand in hand, asanga satrena dridena chitva, and that has to be done with determination. Because the mind is not going to allow you to do that. It's not going to allow you to do that. Mind is going to constantly tell you, no, don't be stupid. You neither achieved anything here, nor have you achieved anything materially. Get back. Don't be stupid. Get back. That is why he says, Dhridena Chitto, with determination. Next verse. Tatapadam tatparimargitavyam. Yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyah, tameva chadyam purusham prapadhye, यत प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी तत पदम तत्परिमागितव्यम् यस्मिन् गतान निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यत प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणी. सो हैविंग practiced disciplined lifestyle and questioning, then that goal should be sought. Tat padam, that goal, tatap padam tat parimargitavyam. Then only the goal of self-realization or enlightenment should be sought. Now, such a person, the possibility is he will get, because he's got the strength of conquering the mind. See, why am I saying this? Because a lot of us, we keep saying, I've been studying for so many years, but still conquering anger becomes difficult, or any desire, jealousy, greed, fear, I'm not overcome anything, anxiety is still there. This is the fact of life. Why? So we say, listen, if you just study, it's not enough. That is only one aspect. The other aspect is, you need to have a relatively disciplined life. That's why living in an ashram becomes more conducive. That doesn't mean anybody who goes to ashram will be able to conquer. It becomes more conducive. But if you're, it's like you're trying to fill the pot with water without plugging the hose. If you do not plug the holes and continue filling the pot, will it get filled? Similarly, on one side you are draining your energy by constantly running propelled by the senses, and on the other side you are studying, if at all you are studying. So intelligence is increasing, no doubt, but the energy is not sustained, it's getting drained. That is why he says you need to have both disciplined lifestyle and higher studies, higher values, higher questioning. Both has to go hand in hand. If you really want to understand the conditioning, it's not easy. Because what happens is, from one conditioning you may fall into another conditioning. Like Amiji asked, you can get into sattva, which is another kind of conditioning. Maybe slightly better, but that is another conditioning. So many people, they get into following a particular guru, personalities, the cult, you know, you start following that. From one group, you chose another group, that's all. You still not gather strength to stay alone. That's the interesting thing. See, life is like the game of golf. You can be playing with three other people, four ball. And there may be another so many people playing 18 holes in a tournament. Maybe 40 people, maybe 100 people playing. But what you need to understand is, you are playing your game individually. It's the maya that is being created around you. There are three more people playing along with you, and there are so many four balls, and there's a competition going on, all this. But end of the day, in golf, you're just playing with yourself. Given a ball, club, 18 holes, you get there. But then, you start giving yourself to the other scores, this, that, and there are games when you watch, it's very, very interesting. Sorry, excuse me. One fellow has got certain score. You are just one above. So minus 19 and he's minus 18. If you just do par and if he
doesn't do minus 1, you're okay. But that time, they make mistakes. Because the mind is gone. Comparing, just that, they make mistakes. There are times when you see the guy who was leading loses, the other fellow wins. What you need to understand here is there are so many people playing, giving a fiction as if you're all having a competition. But actually you're playing your game alone. This is exactly what is happening in life as well. But what happens is we compare, what will they think, what will he think. This conditioning is such that we move from one conditioning to another thing because mind is weak in itself. It always craves for appreciation. You need some group which says you are right, you are fine. You'll be comfortable there. You always crave for appreciation. It's very, very interesting. You need some group. If there is one group criticizing you, you need another group which says you are my king. You are part of it, the protection, the security. You have not learned to be alone. Till then you have not attained that motion. So you can go from one conditioning to another. Therefore he says, then that goal must be sought. First conquer the mind. Then think about moksha and all that. But you're saying moksha is that, but you never worry about conquering your mind. You're just going in the direction of the mind. You're creating more and more vasanas. It's not possible. But once you seek this way, you will get there. Once you get there, what happens? What is the phala, benefit you get by attaining such a state? Without having gone, they do not return again. Because once you have moved away from conditioning, there is no question of you falling back to conditioning. Impossible. Even in any language, when you move from a very unrefined diction to a refined diction, you cannot get back to that unrefined way of speaking anymore. Impossible. Because you've gone through the transformation from within. That conditioning is removed from within you. Permanently. Thereafter there is no question of falling back to samsara. Then the person understands. See, the concept of moksha is again misunderstood. They think, if I attain moksha, that means if I attain moksha at the age of 40, I continue to live as 40 years old in heaven forever. That is not what he is saying. Obviously your body will grow old, you will also go through the pain, everything, but your association with the body dissolves. The problem is your association with the body. The problem is with the association with the boundaries that you have created for a certain practical living. You understand? See, now four of us are here. So if I say, hey you, then maybe all three of you may turn around and to look at me. You may wonder, I am calling you. So if I say Shweta, then she turns. If I say Amiji, she turns. Like that, each one is given a certain address. Right? This is for practical purpose. But what has happened over a period of time, I started thinking that I am that name. Are you with me? This is the problem. Similarly, for practical purposes, okay, those who are living here, Indians, this is Americans. Now, over a period of time, we started associating with it. This is how conditioning happens. Compartmentalizing, segregating. The free spirit gets compartmentalized. You're born, no such thing was there. But slowly you're compartmentalized. Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Jain, etc., etc. Man, woman, South, North, educated, uneducated. There are so many compartments in which we live. So what Vedanta is saying is, even though all these compartments are there and you feel like you're being restricted by these compartments, even when that feeling is going on, that spirit in you can really not be compartmentalized. That is what you need to realize. Just like how a space, an association of the room appears to be separated. You say bedroom space, kitchen space, lounge space, hall space, veranda space, etc. But is the space really compartmentalized? Can it be segregated? Can it be separated? Impossible. Gross cannot control the subtle. So the person, without having gone, never comes back. Meaning, thereafter the body may continue, but his or her association with the body is finished. Thereafter they understand that I am not born when the body is born. Therefore, I am not dying when the body dies. Then I seek refuge in that primeval Purusha Supreme Being alone, where from stream forth ancient activity. All this madness started because what? Of not understanding the primeval Purusha correctly, that consciousness properly. As a result, what happened? That ignorance has led me to this madness, this much of madness. See, when we were living in the forest, we had certain situations which were giving us stress. Whether we will become food, or we will find food, we didn't know. So that stress used to, for survival purpose, gives us a chemical that secretes so that we can run. Are you with me? And by running, you exhaust the stress chemicals. You survive. Now what is happening is, in the modern civilized society, we have overcome many of these stress-giving situations. You put animals and everything everywhere. You don't see snakes, nothing in the place where you live. All you overcome. But what is interesting is, now imaginations. Imagination starts. Right? Oh, they are bringing this new law. If they bring in this new law, what will happen to us? Then you start. Now what they say in science is, even there is nobody threatening you in front of you, but your imagination is enough to make you secrete the same chemicals. This is what is happening. So all your samsara is at the imagination level. That's what I'm trying to. By giving this example, I want to tell you this only. It's all in the mind. But over a period of time, that has triggered you to live a certain lifestyle. Now, that lifestyle has given you certain comfort. Even though you are going through a lot of inconvenience, now the problem comes, how to say no to it. When I say no to it, then this group, that thing, this, that, many things I may lose. So this is the situation. That's why some people who really pondered over, thought about, one fine day they said enough is enough and they left. Now we think he's gone mad, vichara. But to see that your condition is not easy. That is why he said, then the goal must be sought, whether having gone, they do not return. I seek refuge in that primeval Purusha. Purusha means one who resides in the Puri, that consciousness which is as it were conditioned, which is not really conditioned. In that consciousness I take refuge. Meaning what? Thereafter, his or her identification is completely with that pure consciousness only. Not with the world anymore. See, sorry. Like I said, if you focus on the world, finger is out of focus. If you focus on the finger, world is out of focus. Where is your identification? He says, now having understood this, I will constantly identify with the consciousness. We are constantly identifying with the senses. He says, I will constantly identify with the consciousness. And there is a world of difference between the two. one who identifies with the consciousness and one who identifies with the senses. A person who is seeing the cricket ball like a football when playing, he controls the ball. He hits it for a four, or he ducks, or he leaves it, or he defends it. But a person who is not seeing the ball properly is terrified. He may be hitting one or two fours here and there by fluke, but he is not living comfortably there. Next ball, what is it going to be? He's worried. He's not comfortable. That's the difference. That is what he is trying to say. That is why the verse that I quoted from Keno Upanishad, verse number 4, part 2. After that, there is verse number 5. That he says, Iha cheda vedi data satyamasti. If you live like this, what I have spoken, verse number 4, then you know how to live your life. Otherwise, it's a supreme, most great loss. It's like a person who is on the crease, surviving, but constantly terrified as to when is he going to lose the wicket, how is he going to lose the wicket, is he going to get hurt. He has no clue of what is going on there. The other fellow is in perfect control. So whether you are behind the ball or in front of the ball, that is what they say in the Shastras, behind the Maya, in front of the Maya. Those who are in front of the Maya, Maya controls them. Those who are behind the Maya, they control Maya. For example, the yogis, some yogis, certain things which are involuntary for us, for them it is voluntary. For example, heartbeat. It is involuntary for you. But for them, they control the heartbeats. They have experimented this. Many universities. They have got behind and they are controlling it. Believe me. It's all done by the mind. We are talking about going even behind the mind. That is even further. But I am just trying to explain it with an example which is possible for you to understand. You are calling it as involuntary, but they are making it voluntary. Similarly, you can take charge of your life provided you understand that you are conditioned. Firstly, understand going through a conditioned living. And there is possibility of leading an unconditioned life which is far superior. And once I understand this, then there would probably be a thirst for me to cut off this samsara. Otherwise, why would I want to cut off samsara? All these verses makes no sense, Arya Baba, leave it. So that's why I say, before verse number 4, for us the most important verse is verse number 3. If you don't do 3, why would you want to go to 4? 4 says, then that goal must be solved. Why do you want to seek that goal? First verse number 3. What is verse number 3? 3 hours. Retreat, reflect, recast your thinking. Suddenly you find you are leading a far better life. The same place where you are living. You just follow these 3 hours. Life becomes better. Let's continue.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 ओम कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियै वा मनसेन्द्रियै वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।
Next verse.